So, Andrea, when did you first decide that you were definitely going to stand?
Not until about 9:45 last night.
And what made your mind up?
Well, I'd been thinking about it for a few days. I mean, the key thing for me is that the next leader has to be somebody who genuinely believes that our future lies so much brighter outside of the EU. And so it really was a case of trying to figure out whether there were enough Leave candidates, whether in the sort of numbers game, whether we could end up with two people supporting Remain side. You know, I think the country, the absolutely essential thing for the country is that we deliver on the promise and on all those opportunities. So in the end, I just thought I had to stand.
Now, we've got two candidates who are not very well known in the country, Stephen Crabb and yourself. A lot of people will say, well, who is Andrea Leadsom? Why should I support her?
Yeah, and I totally understand that. And obviously, I need to make my case very strongly. But, you know, I really genuinely believe that our future is better off outside of the EU for our children, for our grandchildren. The opportunities of dealing with the rest of the world, the 92% of the people who don't live in the EU and the 80% of the world's economies that aren't in the EU, you know, it's a massive opportunity to strengthen our economy, to reinvest in people in this country to sort out the issues around free movement. And I just would dearly love to have that opportunity. So I completely realise I have to make the case. But I think I do have a lot of experience of running businesses, of setting up and running charities. And so I'm not without experience, but I absolutely recognise I'm not very well known.
I think a lot of people, particularly Tory MPs, may make their decision based on, can I imagine this person sitting down in a room with Angela Merkel and looking her straight in the eye and saying no? How can you reassure Tory MPs that you will be able to do that?
Well, I guess I would point to the 25-year career that I've had running financial services businesses, and for the last 20 years I've been involved with charities, specifically trying to support the early years, giving babies the best start in life. So I've had to make some very, very big business decisions. You know, I was running Barclays Investment Bank's team when Barings Bank went bust, and spent a weekend with Eddie George trying to make sure there wasn't a run on the bank. So doing some pretty serious and important things. And I think I am absolutely confident in my own mind that I can be tough when I need to be. But at the same time, I think what the country needs is someone with integrity who's absolutely committed to delivering on what they have instructed us to do.
I imagine you were as surprised as anyone when you heard that Boris Johnson had pulled out. I understand that he made you an offer last night. Is that the case?
I was absolutely astonished that he pulled out. I mean, I have the hugest regard for Boris. I think he would have been a really superb candidate, and I'm very disappointed that he's pulled out. We were discussing what potentially we could do together. But at the end of the day, as I say, by late last night, I decided that actually we needed more choice on the Leave side when it looked as if it was potentially just going to be one candidate who genuinely believes that we need to make the most of those opportunities. And so I decided I should put my own name forward.
But was that partly because he didn't offer you what you wanted?
No, it was a decision I took off my own bat, and, you know, partly because I absolutely see this country can be great, and I would absolutely love the chance to make it great. I have some enormous ambitions for this country in the areas of improving mental health and reducing some of the inequalities that we see in our country. And so whilst I think the focus, the immediate focus, must be on delivering the opportunities from leaving the EU, I think there is a much bigger agenda that I would love to have the opportunity to deliver.
Thinking, you've been a minister in David Cameron's government, you're in the Treasury and currently at the Department of Energy and Climate Change. Having been in government, and you've been obviously sort of a key member of David Cameron's team, what would be the main difference between an Andrea Leadsom premiership and a David Cameron premiership?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, I think I am probably more of a delegator than he has been. You know, as a minister, I certainly sort of feel the, you know, the centralising tendency in government at the moment, and I would certainly hope to deliver, you know, greater empowerment, I think, to different departments. I think that there possibly shouldn't be as many people sitting around the cabinet table. I certainly think that the focus on delivery would be absolutely, I'm an action person, you know, I absolutely focus on the delivery side of things. I mean, the policy ideas are vital, but actually if you then don't implement them, then they were just words. And so for me, action is really key.
Now, Theresa May launched this morning, and she came up with what I thought was an absolutely outstanding idea. She said there should be a new Department of Trade, totally independent from the rest of the government, and they should be handling the negotiations, and a sort of senior cabinet minister would be doing that. Is that something you've given any thought to?
Yeah, I mean, my thought for how we would do that is that there should be a deputy prime minister with a department that is also the chief negotiator, pulling together resources from right across Whitehall, because obviously there's a lot of strands to leaving the EU. There's the trade cooperation, there's the very key issue of movement of people, and then there's all sorts of intelligence, data sharing, extradition, all manner of different areas of our relationship with the EU where we will want to continue to cooperate with friendly bilateral arrangements, but where we will want to take back control to absolutely ensure that our UK Parliament is once again sovereign.
Two transport-related issues. You have been very critical, I've seen, about HS2. Is that something that you would now commit to axing, or would you consult on that?
I would want to have an early review of HS2. I think that it's been incredibly contentious. I've made no secret of the fact over the years that I don't think it's the right project. And obviously with my economic hat on, I would have to look at, have we gone too far? Have we spent too much money and so on? But actually my instinct would be that there would be a different project that would work better. And in particular, what I'd like to look at is whether that money could be better used in the north of England, sorting out the infrastructure issues there. But, you know, I would certainly want to have a review of that project very early days.
Now, Patrick McLaughlin has announced today there won't be a decision on Heathrow. That's obviously going to be right at the top of a new Prime Minister's inbox. Most people think that if Britain is going to be open for business and we want to attract inward investment and all the rest of it, we've got to have that decision very quickly. What's your line on Heathrow?
Well, my instinct is that we need another terminal at Heathrow and another terminal at Gatwick. And, you know, so that actually, I mean, you've hit on the two sort of
terminal or runway?
Well, potentially dramatically expanded airports in both places. I mean, the key point about the opportunity from leaving the EU is that the UK is open to business to the rest of the world. And in the time that we've been trying to decide about an extra runway at Heathrow, we have seen China, I think, opening something like 13 new runways or even airports. I forget which it is. But you know, we absolutely have to put our money where our mouth is and start seriously thinking about gearing up to meet the opportunities of globalisation.
When you make a decision to run for the leadership, it's obviously not just policy, it's not just leadership. You've got to think about yourself and your family. How much does that come into it, sort of whether you are ready for it?
So, you know, that to me was the absolutely core decision, which is why it took me so long, because, you know, I think it's a very difficult job and it does have an impact on your family. And definitely for me, family comes first and always will, you know. So I think it was a very tricky balance. And in the end, I felt I needed to do this to give people the chance to see whether they thought I was the right person for the job. But definitely family will always come first.
What about a general election? If you win, you'll come under a lot of pressure from a lot of people to call an early general election. People are saying, well, if it's you or Stephen Crabbe, the country don't know you enough, there ought to be a general election. What do you think of that argument?
I would not call a general election. We had a general election last year and elected a Conservative government. And we don't have a sort of presidential style of parliament here in the UK. And so I believe that whoever is the next leader of the Conservative Party has a mandate to continue governing the country until the next general election. And that would be what I would be doing.
Are you a radical?
I'm absolutely a radical in the areas that I'm determined to get done. I wouldn't describe myself as a radical. I would say I'm an action person. You know, I think we have to do things. People want to see change. And actually, at the end of the day, that's what this referendum was about. People want to see change. They do not want to be left behind. They don't want to feel disempowered. So in that sense, yes, I'm radical, but I don't believe in scary throwing things up in the air just for the sake of it. I believe in action.
The reason I ask that question is because whenever a politician comes into office, whether they're a cabinet minister or the prime minister, the civil service always come up with 10 reasons not to do something.
Yeah.
And so when you say to the Treasury, for example, I don't know whether you would say this or not, right, to get more business into this country, to make us more attractive, I want to cut corporation tax to 10% over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, prime minister, you can't possibly do that. How tough are you going to be in those situations?
In that particular situation, utterly tough. And, you know, I absolutely, if I were looking at this as Prime Minister, I would be seeking to do everything possible to encourage foreign direct investment to this country, to give the very loud and clear message that we are open for business. So, yes, in that sense, I'd be very radical. And I can just tell you that in my private time, I use Yes Minister as an absolute prototype for learning about how to not run a government.
As long as it's not House of Cards.
Well, quite, yes.
Or Game of Thrones, which Mr. Gove is a fan of.
I have to admit, I quite like Game of Thrones. I've read the books, though. I haven't watched the movies because they're too scary. That's what my kids tell me anyway.
How would you bring the party together? Theresa May has got Chris Grayling running her campaign. He was obviously a prominent Brexiter. Do you have supporters from the other side?
I suppose I'm a very late person to this campaign, you know, literally very late. And I do have a lot of friends in the party, a lot of people I regard incredibly highly, people who were both sides of the argument. And as far as I'm concerned, I always prefer to keep relationships to a intellectual disagreement rather than a personal spat. So, you know, I sincerely hope that there will be some people who thought we should remain, but who can see that actually now that we've decided to leave, we need to get behind somebody who can deliver on those opportunities. So I do hope so.
Well, I guess you've got a lot of phone calls to make this afternoon. A lot of people will be trying to get in touch with you, I imagine. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Ian.